You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSC has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always on a Wednesday, I speak to Scott Glowe, Portfolio Manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak in Cape Town. Last week, we spoke a lot about gold, Skalk, and I gave you free rein to talk for what seemed an age about the yellow metal, and it was incredibly informative, and I had good reaction to it. Today, I'm going to mention gold once, and that's it, okay? I was deeply, deeply disturbed and offended earlier on when Donald Trump released on his social media platform an AI-generated video of his vision of Gaza. He didn't make any comment about it, but you got the inference. You saw that, obviously. You've seen that, obviously. And I don't know if it's a joke, but I don't think he jokes about this sort of thing. I think it's serious. And the people of Gaza, if you've seen it, then I understand if you're deeply, as deeply offended as I am. Should we leave it there? Gold statues of Trump?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we leave it there, yeah, don't you?
Let's not mention the word gold because, hello, Lindsay, and hello to all the Strictly Business listeners. So as I start this podcast, I just want to tell you guys that I got a bit reprimanded. I mean,
by whom?
By yourself. And don't switch and don't cut this out, please.
No, I'm
because
not going to.
I was told strictly that today we need to keep it around 15 minutes. And then Lindsay starts off by saying, let's talk about gold. And that's what all I heard.
Just a gold statue. I'm just trying to keep it to 15 minutes because I've got another podcast afterwards, but that's okay. Let's get straight into other things because there's a couple of things that have come out since we last spoke. The first is results from Sasol, and I know you're involved in Sasol, and you don't mind me saying that. The other is the process Naspers Just Eat story. Where do you want to start?
Well, I think that they're both old news.
I mean, yes, I know, but I need your old news analysis,
yeah,
please.
So let's start with the process. Just Eat. I think firstly, I was actually quite surprised when I saw the reaction in the market yesterday. When I opened up, and I think Naspers was down close to 7% process as well, and yes, I know it's, you know, investors might feel that they could be overpaying slightly. But I mean, my first reaction was, this is nothing new. This is, they've been guided pretty well. This is the plan. They are going to buy the company. I think the price may be on the higher side, which the investors expected. But where they started buying into Just Eat, where they're now buying the company, they're getting it cheaper than originally. So I thought yesterday was a harsh reaction price wise, and today's sort of reversion. We're seeing Prosus, Naspers, you know, both of them up over 2% again today. Is telling us that maybe a slight overreaction. I don't think I like the fact that they're proactively doing something else, because I think the one thing about Naspers and now in the latter years Prosus, it's always been the 10-cent show. It's cheap, I know, but it's always been sort of just a 10-cent show.
Yes.
And now looking at some other companies, some other acquisitions, really committing to those acquisitions, I thought it's a good one. And I think over the longer haul, I'm still optimistic on both processes.
You don't think that €20.30 is too much for Just Eat? It's a scooter delivery service.
It is. But I mean, They are committed. They started. It's like the Channel Blue, you know, nibbling in multi-choice. And I told you back in the day, you're not going to nibble, you know, so constantly. Somewhere along the line, you can't be halfway pregnant. Somewhere along the line, you need to just go out and just say, we are committed. And they've shown their hand now and done that. So I think I read quite a few institutional reports yesterday on the company, and I still need to find one that's not bullish on the company. So
Naspers,
we know that they still ever you know, a buyer of their own shares, and I still think, you know, it'll be most probably my preferred entry. But anyway, be this short, I think positive.
Okay, Sasol.
So Cecil, again, well guided. We know the woes that they have. We know that they're struggling. But I think the results that came out yesterday showed us not too bad story. I thought they're looking to show some of those improvements. And if they could start spinning off these chemical business, like, you know, the rumors went, I think, about 4 weeks, 6 weeks ago, I still think that Sasol at these current levels are, you know, it's an extremely cheap company trading at a 3x forward PE multiple. That is really, really cheap. It's not the typical company that will go to a 15 or 20 times PE. It hasn't traded there, well, pretty much ever, but it is a company that's quite you know, stable around 8-9 times P. So if that is anything to go by, I still believe this is a company that could literally double up. I mean, if they can just do the basics right, I still think it's a good and solid.
So
company.
This is a 180 rand a share company. Is that what you're saying? Something like that?
Yeah, I believe that. I believe that. But okay. then they really need to look at their debt levels. They really need to do these basics right. Which I got the feeling when I saw the actual results came out yesterday. I did feel that they're looking good.
I'll be retired by then, by the way, Skunk, when Cecil doubles his current price. But anyway, very good luck with that.
Oh, we're gonna have this conversation. Just make a note, mental note. Cecil 180, yeah. Retirement.
Okay.
I think to all the listeners out there, we might see Lindsay retire a little bit earlier than originally anticipated.
Moving right on to Anheuser-Busch, which is up 7.5% at the moment. Big company, big move. There's AECI up 7.2% on my delayed screen at the moment, and Momentum up 10%. Please tell me about these companies.
Yeah, I would love to. So firstly, disclaimers first. I do own you know, Naspers Process. I do own Sasol, and oh boy, I own both AECI and Anheuser. So most of the time, you know, we often have conversation and I tell you about FOMO and I missed out on this one, on that one. Now, AECI, bang bangs, we've often had this conversation, and we're just going to refer again, you know, on the JSE floor pre-1996. If you shouted on the floor bang bangs, everybody knew what you were calling.
Because it's an explosives company. I mean, that's a small part of its business. Yeah, anyway.
There we go. So AECI, again, well guided. And today the actual full year results came out very muted. I mean, revenue up 3.8%, EBITDA, you know, that was down, headline earnings down 37. But again, in most of the cases, well guided. But then, and just headline earnings per share eventually came out at 7 Rand 16. Down from last year's 11 Rand 37.
Yeah.
But remember, consensus had them at 5 Rand 21. So this was firstly a nice solid beat on what was expected. But again, it opened up very muted price movement. And then they had the shareholders' communication where the CEO gave feedback to all the analysts, those analyst meetings. And then literally as he spoke, you just saw the share price exploded because
really?
He mentioned
that's great.
They're going to be looking at some serious cost cuttings. They've already started to implement, you know, some of these cost cuttings, and they're going to continue doing this. They're going to be focusing on these sort of departments in the company that's not looking healthy, and going to try and just streamline that. And I mean, it's still a beautiful company. It's really a well-managed. They've got the explosives, like you mentioned. They've got the chemical side. They've got the fertilizers. So a great, great company. And something that I think about a company that's trading at really, really decent multiples. They also managed to increase their dividend. Yes, I know last year they cut their dividend quite extensively, but they've managed to increase their dividend by 84% to 2.19. So that's a positive sign. And as I mentioned, the share price just exploded afterwards, and eventually, end of the day, very, very, very healthy. As mentioned, you know, 7.4%.
Okay, so you own that one. Do you own Anheuser-Busch, AB InBev?
I own them. I support them. I do love
what do you mean,
them.
Support okay. them? You know, in other words, you've got a couple of their products tucked away in the low fridge.
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, all jokes aside, this is a company that's struggled. I mean, when you look at their debt levels, and I would say the debt levels from the period where they actually acquired SA Breweries, you can see they really went into serious debt. And if you look at their debt levels or debt to equity levels since the acquisition, they've managed to be decreasing that every single year. So they can clearly have which have been successful. Revenue, yes, it increased 2.7%. Quite a nice beat on the consensus. And then headline earnings per share increased 15.7%. $3.53, expected $3.33. So again, a very, very good beat. Company that's been trading under pressure. I mean, the share price has been remaining at these, let's call it 800-900 rand levels for many, many moons. Every time it sort of breached the 1,000 rand levels, it just stays there for a short period of time and then dips down to 900 levels. But I mean, today was just a massive, massive, massive beat. Not over 1,000 rand. Larco starting to flirt with the 1,000, let's call it 1,100 levels, up, you know, 7.9%. Yeah, solid set of results.
Momentum Metropolitan, 10.25% higher. That's extraordinary, isn't it?
I mean, that is massive.
It really is. It's a really good move. But anyway, that's the one that stands out for me. I'm sorry I keep saying it, but it really does. Other bits of news, Skulk. What have we got here? South African inflation edges up in the first release since the basket update. They've reshuffled their shopping basket and the inflation came in at 3.2% from 3%. And the other one that caught my eye, not so much a surprise, Golden Boy Trump ends US initiative to boost electricity access in Africa. And that's according to Bloomberg. So he's cutting out anything he doesn't like or doesn't understand. Righto. Any other companies that caught your eye today before we go to the prevailing prices? By the way, I've thrown my 15-minute thing out the window.
Not my fault this time around. But anyway, yeah, I think the only other company worth mentioning is Bitcorp. We're not going to go into it because I think we're going to be time constrained. I didn't think the results looked too bad. I think the results were quite stable. They're showing that they're gaining some market share. Beautifully managed company. So in general, it looked good, but I mean, that's the problem, if I can say that as a negative. But that's the problem with these companies trading at higher P multiples. They sort of price for perfection, and investors started to, you know, they want to see double figure growth in headline earnings per share and those type of things. They didn't do that. I still think that, well, they still managed to beat, but not a big beat, and share price retraced a little bit. We're talking about 1.2% down for today.
So one thing about Bidcorp and Bidvest is that the succession planning at board level has always been superb. I mean, obviously Brian Joffe, but he was a forward thinker in that regard. Some companies don't have it, and some political parties don't have it as well. I won't mention any names, but they've always done that, don't you find, Skulk?
Yeah, no, it's a stunning, stunningly managed company, and that's the thing. I mean, you can look at these companies. We're talking about Bitcorp, Bitvest. You can talk about Nuclix, the likes of Capitex. I mean, I can mention a few of these companies trading at let's call it expensive, in inverted commas, multiples. But then you can just say equal. Just look at their management. And in all these cases, they're sitting with a very, very strong management team and a great history in terms of profit history. So Bitcorp, it's one of these companies. I don't own that. That's the one that I don't own. Okay. Would love to own it. Would definitely put this on my radar, and any retracement. I mean, we're talking about the share price that is currently trading at, let's call it 465 rand levels. I would like to see it closer to that, let's call it 410 rand levels. There, I'll most probably look to nibble. But would it get there? I most probably won't.
Okay, you never know. Okay, let's have a look at some prices now. The dollar rand is 18.41. The British pound against the rand is 23.31. The euro rand is 19.30. Euro dollar, 104.85. British pound against the US dollar is 126.65. Okay, gold price, it's off a bit today. In fact, it's off quite a bit today. It's $26 on my screen lower, down 0.9%. What else have we got? Platinum, mired below 1,000 at 978, but it's still up $9 on the day. And palladium, mired below 1,000 at 934, which is up at $8 on the day as well. Let's go to other commodities now. I was talking to a chap in London today about commodities in general, with a particular focus on that four-letter word, meaning the yellow metal, which I won't mention. But you must have a listen to that one on Strictly Business Podcast later. I'll send you the link, actually, Skulk. But what I've got here is the oil price and the other energy parts of the complex not doing so much. So we've got Brent crude oil at $73.08 per barrel, which is barely changed, and West Texas crude $69.04 per barrel, which is up around about 0.2%. Natural gas prices below $4 now at 3.5% weaker. Okay, S&P 500. Is U.S. markets are waiting for NVIDIA, aren't they, Scott?
Oh, yes. This is going to be a big day.
That's a monster.
We can talk S&P movement up to this point, Nasdaq movement up to this point, but I think later today we're gonna have a totally different market.
Is it after the market closes?
I'm not 100% sure. I think most probably it's usually after the market closes, but like I said, we haven't seen it yet. I think it's anticipated. Currently, as we're sitting here, NVIDIA is telling us, because we remember it's been under pressure, and as we sit here, it's currently up over 3%. So market is expecting good news, and should we get it, I think this could be fun. But should they see any sort of miss,
anything that doesn't meet the expectations of a greedy market, this thing will fall in a heap, and so will the market, just as Tesla has. And if you look back at the Tesla chart, because I'm going to do a bit of Musk bashing today, it was December of last year, almost to the day when he was appointed a special government employee by Golden Boy, the share price came down, and it's been going down. And I think technically it's in a bear market at the moment, because it went to something like $296 a share yesterday, having been goodness knows what, I think $388 at its peak last year. But anyway, you're the charts man. But it doesn't look good, Tesla, I have to tell you. And registrations in Europe for Tesla new cars have plunged, because people don't like him here.
No, I mean it's also well divided. I mean it's a fact that Elon is pretty much Tesla, and Tesla's Elon. And if you take him and say, well, he's going to be pretty much spending most of his attention on Doge, so then you need to ask what's management going to look at. You asked on the let's call it bear market. If you look at the chart, yes, definitely on an RSI basis, way, way, way oversold, trading now below that, let's call it 30 RSI. But for those charters out there, I'm not one. I mean, it's still very much the 50 days trading well above the 200 days still. So it's still very much in a, let's call it a bull phase.
Okay.
And now literally trading on that 200 day. So 200 day is pretty much where we're trading. Are we going to see it actually get some support around the 200 day? Or if it breaks these levels, I agree with you. I think we could see bear market territory very, very soon.
I don't want to see it, because I don't want people to lose money, but it would just give me a quiet sense of satisfaction to see the Musk, after all his antics for the last couple of months, it's just come a little bit of a cropper. S&P 500 futures are 6,008 on their highs. It's up around about 2/3 of a percent. The US 10-year Treasury bond is 4.44%. The South African 10-year, this has updated, 10.78%. And what else have we got here? Bitcoin, which had a bit of a wobble after that after that crypto hacking story from a North Korean hacker who stole $1.5 billion from one of the crypto trading platforms. And ever since then, Bitcoin has been under pressure, recovering a bit today, up 0.8% to 87,950. But don't forget, it was close to 110,000 per coin not that long ago, Skulk. Apart from the companies we've spoken about, what moved on the JSE today?
Well, I think JSE itself, positive territory. So JSE today closed 88,322 points, so that was up 65 basis points. The JSE top 40, 80,855 points, also trading 71 basis points higher. Resources, as you mentioned earlier, with all the drops in the gold price, the platinum price, so resources taking a bit of pressure today. 96 basis points in the red. Well, the industrials up 1.1%, financials up 1.2%, and the property today, oi.
Oh dear.
1.6% down for today.
Hammerson being the main leader of that one, I think. Yeah.
Correct. Value not looking too bad.
Okay.
Value, we're talking about just over 21 billion. So very, very much in line with the past, it's called 4 or 5 days.
Just in this, individual stocks, Momentum Metropolitan up nearly 10%, AB InBev up nearly 8%, Old Mutual a near 5% winner, Alphamin up 4.4%, and Richemont 2.7% higher. African Rainbow Minerals nearly 7% weaker, Hammerson just over 6% down, Nepi Rockcastle 4.7% in the red, Tungela 4.2% and Aspen 3.8% down. Skulk. Interesting to see what Nvidia does tonight. It's not make or break stuff, but it's certainly market moving stuff.
It's definitely going to be worth staying up and just having a look, because I think it's going to be a nice one. So yeah, like you mentioned, not going to be make or break, but it's definitely a market mover.
Skunk Lowe is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth, Old Oak in Cape Town, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors, and do not reflect the policy position or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.